Well, good day. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. I am Jerry Usher along with Debbie Giorgiani, and we've got most of the show team in place, so we're all covered on all of our bases here. And the only one we need to have you call in is you, and you make the program whatever it is here with your takes and your wisdom and lived experiences. So we're going to be talking about self-forgiveness today on the program, Debbie, and we've covered this topic before. And
we have.
Yeah, it's elicited a lot of interesting and impactful takes, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get like extra pieces of paper for all of the wonderful wisdom and all of the life experiences that our listeners of Take Two, the Take Two family, you show up real strong and you come in and you share with everybody about this difficult topic. It is difficult because it affects ourselves. You know, it's this idea that we can go to confession, know that we are receiving God's love and mercy and forgiveness. We can talk to people and be helped by understanding that we've made, you know, some possibly not so good choices for ourselves in the past, but then move past it and forgive. We can forgive others. But then when it comes to really genuinely forgiving yourself, we tend sometimes to hold on to it. Actually, we sometimes cling to it because it's something that we feel can never be forgotten. What do you think about that, Jerry?
Well, I think you're spot on because I can speak from personal experience, and I'm not sure why we do this. I was thinking about this before the show, and in my own life, in my own experience, Debbie, I have held on to, I've been unable to forgive myself, and I think part of it is anger toward myself. I don't know if that's a possible element of all of this, but you know, I think, and part of it is pride too. We talked about that, but there are situations where you think, you know, I'm above that sin. I shouldn't commit that sin, and so then I get a little bit angry and frustrated with myself, and that's where I think the unself-forgiveness can come in.
Yeah, so we want to talk about it today. Do you have difficulty forgiving yourself, really deeply forgiving yourself? Or is there a part of you that's still, I don't want to use the word, you know, hold on to it, because that can be so dangerous. Maybe it's something that it's just so familiar to you that it stays part of your life. Here's the number, 833-288-3986. That's the number to call. And as you can tell, Jerry, we do a lot of work in this in coaching. A lot of people come to coaching with the desire to wanting to really become completely whole again and to forgive themselves to in so much as to be able to move forward. You know what I'm saying, Jerry? It's not that they're going to forget or condone or justify or rationalize anything that was done in the past. They just want to move forward. And isn't that what God calls us to do? We're on a journey. We are pilgrims on a journey, right? So that there's movement there.
Well, they're supposed to be. Yeah. And you and I were talking about this yesterday, and this really can impact someone's soul. It can impact their forward movement in life toward fulfilling their purpose that God has created them for. So again, here is the phone number. Take Two listeners, you take the topic and run with it. So we expect great things from you today at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Has there ever been a time in your life, maybe you're beyond it now, but has there ever been a time in your life when you really had trouble looking in the mirror saying, you know, I forgive you, I forgive that person in the mirror? Because as Debbie pointed out, we go to confession, the church forgives us, God forgives us, the people we have offended forgive us, but it's just sometimes difficult for us to, you know, really let that go and say, you know, I messed up, but that's okay. I'm gonna let myself go. I'm gonna let myself move forward now.
So we want to hear from you. 833-288-3986. Ryan Penny is ready, willing, and able to answer your phone call. You don't have to be Catholic to call in. You're part of the Take Two family if you're listening. If you've ever had trouble forgiving yourself, please share with us what was the process, what were the steps that you took in order to get past that and move forward. 833-288-3986. I sure hope we get a lot of takes today, Jerry, because I think it could help every one of us on some level.
Well, we always say that there are people you are teaching, you are inspiring, you are enlightening with your takes. If you've been through something that we talk about on this program, you're going to be speaking to a lot of people, a lot of souls who are going through that very same journey right now, that following that path, maybe having the same difficulties that you are having or one time did have. And today is self-forgiveness is what we're talking about. Again, the number is 833-288-3986. 833-288-3986. I'm not even doing a pledge drive today.
But when you say it so many times, you're not even thinking about it anymore. So that's how come it can get kind of jumbled up. But yeah, we want to hear from our listeners. This is your show. We're talking about forgiving yourself. Let's talk about it and let's see if this could be the beginning of a fresh start, a new day for you. How wonderful would that be? 833-288-3986. I need a new day. I'm telling you, that's why I'm not on Skype. So Jerry's waving for me on YouTube and Facebook. I probably won't be on for a few days. My eyes are just not getting better, and they're trying everything, and light affects it, and they're itchy, and I don't recommend eye infections to anyone.
I'll keep that in mind. How's Gracie doing, by the way?
She's doing better, but her right eye is still half closed. The left one is completely open, so thank goodness for that. I just hope it doesn't happen to us. Marty's doing great. He got better. I am just not. I don't know what's the matter with me. But I'm hanging in there. They say that I can't put anything on my face, no chemicals, nothing. So, yeah, it's not good.
Not even your mask.
Yeah, I wonder if the mask, yeah. No, that's not good. I know. But you know, when you have something that's gnawing at you, Jerry, have you ever had this happen where you're thinking about it all the time? It makes it worse. You know, I think the only time I stop thinking about it is when I'm sleeping. That's not good either.
Right. Well, you can't sleep all day. That's for sure. We're getting close to a quick little break here, and then your takes on self-forgiveness. Think about it. Think about it deeply. Pray about it. Ask the Lord to show you if you have difficulty letting go of some of the sins that you've committed, some of the mistakes, the foibles, what have you. We all maybe struggle with this at times. I have, I know. Debbie likely has, and all of us. But forgiving yourself sets you free to go on that path forward where God is calling you. So let's get those other phone lines filled up here at 833-288-3986. This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. We are talking about self-forgiveness today. We hear those beautiful, assuring words from the priest. I absolve you from your sins. We hear, you apologize to someone you have offended. They say, I forgive you. God always forgives. And then we have that little bit of a problem with us just really letting that go and moving on forward in life. It's called self-forgiveness. So do you have a problem with that? Maybe you've got that down. Maybe you've overcome that difficulty. Do join us at 833-288-3986. And I want to mention Beyond Damascus, Saturday night, 8 p.m. on EWTN Radio is a show where young Catholic adults share their stories of life within the Catholic Church and the blessings that the faith brings. So if you're a young adult, if you know some in your life, have them listen to Beyond Damascus, Saturday night, 8 p.m. Eastern on most of these EWTN stations.
I love the Take Two family. I'm getting all these text messages with all these helpful tips on how to help ease the eye pain and strain and the itching.
Great.
It's great. I just want to let everybody know I actually am doing most of those things that you're suggesting. So the eye packs and the compresses and everything. I'm doing most of them. So I'm really good like that. It's just,
cucumbers?
Lingering. Oh, cucumbers. They're so hydrating. They're wonderful. I love cucumber masks and everything. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're really cool. You ever try one?
No, I never have.
I did one on Marty. He loved it. He absolutely loved it. He's like, wow, this is really hydrating. I'm like, yeah, you live in a desert because we live in Arizona. Any little bit of water you gravitate towards.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Okay, so we're talking about forgiving yourself today, and we started the intro of the topic talking about, you know, other ways that we are forgiven, but then to make that big leap for yourself, to forgive yourself, that's a whole nother story, and that's what we're talking about. We're trying to tap into that today so we can learn something and grow and move away from this conversation a little bit changed, a little bit closer to God and a better understanding of ourselves. So if you could help us, if there's something, feel prompted by the Spirit, if you think there's something you could impart that could really help us grow in that area, then please do call in. Don't wait till the very last minute at 833-288-3986, just like Bill did in Kentucky. And Bill is listening. Is it Meade County Catholic Radio, Bill? Welcome.
Yes, that is correct.
Hello, Bill.
Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Yeah, we're here. Go right ahead, Bill.
Yes, it's through Meade County Radio. That's correct.
Very good. Well, you're a first-time caller, and you picked the show on self-forgiveness to do just that. So what would you like to share, Bill?
I was just stating earlier that we all have things that we regret in our lives. But I think each morning you can make the choice. We, so to speak, you know, you don't have to pack that. You don't have to carry around that baggage. You can choose what you want. You know, you can. We all have, like, say, a briefcase or a suitcase or something, and we can choose what we put in it and carry it around with us that day. And you can make the decision to say, you know what, I choose not to bring that regret with me today. I'm not going to beat myself up over something that I did in the past, something I regret. Certainly you want to learn from it and try not to make that mistake again, but at the same time, you can choose not to pack that emotional baggage with you today. And that's all I really wanted to say.
Well, Bill, that is a really good decision to make, an intentional decision to shelve that, you know, to choose not to carry that emotional baggage. The unfortunate thing is, tell me if this has happened to you, Bill and Jerry, that sounds good, okay? And that's a wonderful step, right? But what happens when somebody comes into your view that you encounter on a regular basis and they mention something that triggers that past or that decision that you made that wasn't a good decision in your life or something like that? Does everything come flooding back? Like, sometimes I know that in marriages, it's really, you can really hit those hot buttons by saying what somebody did when they were much younger, and that just puts them right back in that place. Have you ever found that to be the case, Bill? I know that happens to other people. We hear that quite often in the coaching work we do.
Yeah, I'd say most people experience that, and I certainly have myself. You do a good job of dealing with, you know, some mistake or some sin you committed in the past, and then somebody says something, or I don't know, something triggers that memory, and it is certainly something you kind of have to deal with, and you know, just kind of be patient with yourself in that regard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think what both of you were saying is, it strikes me as so true. It's a choice. Self-forgiveness is a choice that we make. It is an act of the will. Debbie, I think you said an intentional mm-hmm. act. It's not beyond our ability to do. Life is filled with acts of the will. If a parent has a crying baby in the middle of the night, you have no choice. You have to make an act of the will and get up and tend to the baby. In our relationship with God, when we, you know, with the obligation to go to Mass or to spend time in prayer, we just simply have to make the choice that I'm going to do that. You know, sin is a guarantee in our lives. Self-forgiveness is not guaranteed. It has to come from our will, and sometimes it takes a few efforts to make that, you know, to get us to the point where we really feel like we have been forgiven by ourselves. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. The one other thing I just would like to add is that I think when we have those encounters with somebody that it does remind us of our past, I think it's really important to make a statement that confirms and affirms where you are are today. Okay. So if somebody says, well, you did this 10 years ago, you remember what you were like 10 years ago or something of that nature. If you could declare something similar to this, you know, this is a new day. I have grown. I'm a new person. I am, you know, to allow yourself to change and to evolve and to grow. I think sometimes we tend to keep each other in these little boxes that we just know, oh, that's Bill's personality, or that's Debbie's personality, or that's Jerry's personality. And we don't allow people a chance to grow and learn. What do you think about that, Bill, about kind of making a statement that just proves that you're past that, you know, this is a new day?
I like that. It kind of proclaims self-belief, and mm-hmm. I think that's important in forgiving yourself and to remind yourself, yes, I'm a different person. I'm a better person. You know, that's my past, and that's not who I am now. So I think that's looking in the right direction.
Yeah, I think, Debbie, you are very, very good at offering, you know, very practical things like that. And as you were talking, I was seeing in my mind, you know, put like some kind of a piece of paper up on your mirror in the bathroom or on the wall or something that says, I am forgiven by 1, God, 2, the church, 3, people I've offended, 4, me. You know, add yourself on there. And I would say, Bill, for your benefit and everybody else's, Debbie will know exactly where I'm going when I mention that there's a movie scene that I think is very, very powerful that has to deal, at least it deals in a way with self-forgiveness. And it's from the movie The Mission. So if anybody hasn't seen that movie, you can just Google The Mission Redemption Scene. The Mission Redemption Scene is Robert De Niro wants to join this band of Jesuit missionaries in South America. And he thinks that his past is too bad, and he has to do all this penance and all this. I mean, he's dragging around behind him this net full of pots and pans and things. He's climbing cliffs with this thing on his back, slipping down again, having to make another start at it, until finally a couple of the indigenous little boys come over and cut it off and shove it over the cliff into the river, indicating he can now let go of that. You know, so sometimes we all carry around that net full of pots and pans, but it's a great movie scene for anyone who has difficulty in this area that we're talking about today. It's called the Redemption Scene in the Mission movie. Okay?
I'll have to look it up.
Yeah. In fact, the whole movie is great. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thanks, Bill. Yeah, it is a great scene, especially. Bill, thank you so much. You really started off the conversation just perfectly today, and we've got phone lines are filling up after you, so people have things to share and add, and so we just so appreciate those that are first up on take two. It's kind of a hard place to be in, but you just hit a home run, so thank you, Bill, so very much. God bless you. Have a beautiful rest of your day.
Talking about self-forgiveness today, is that difficult for you? 833-288-3986. We'll go to Angela next in Bella Vista, Arkansas, listening on the Tune Radio app, first-time caller.
Thought it was
Welcome,
Tune
Angela.
In.
Yeah, Tune In Radio. Yeah. Tune In.
Hi.
Hi, there. Hi, Angela.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome, and I promise I'm going to say one coherent thing before the show is over today, okay?
Just one, Angela.
Just
one. It might be during your call.
I don't know what
call.
I'm going to be.
Welcome, Angela.
So I haven't been baptized yet. That's actually scheduled the 23rd. It got postponed due to the COVID. So... But because of what I'm about to tell you, my priest went ahead and gave me a first confession, even though right now it doesn't sacramentally need it, to try to give me peace. Some years ago, I was involved in an off-street accident, and I get a lot of phantom pains through, I think, what was the resuscitatable injury. And... when those phantom pains get triggered, I still, even despite the confession, will go through all of the sins of my past. And I was wondering if there was some type of kind of get you through those types of issues.
Okay, and Jerry, can Angela was she cutting out on your end? Angela, I could only hear every other sentence, so maybe just get really close to your mic and then stay maybe a little bit still, and then we can hear it. Did you say what kind of accident was it, Angela?
It was an auto pedestrian accident.
Okay.
The last part you were asking is there something that could help you with that? Were you asking, is there some kind of a prayer or something like that?
Right. A prayer, a little bit. The rosary helps, but not a lot, to, especially to remind myself that, hey, you know, you've actually sinned. They're gone now. You don't need to keep reliving them, particularly when I'm already incredibly uncomfortable and struggling with pain. That's where I'm in a hard time getting past that point.
May I ask a quick question? Angela, were you the person that was hit by the car?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure. Okay, so you survived, and now you're having these phantom pains that are triggering a lot of things in that are happening. And so this is affecting your review that you do of your life, right? So you keep going back to all these other sins. Okay, got it. All right, now I got it. Go ahead, Jerry. Why don't you comment first? Because I've got a couple things, but we may need to have Angela stay with us through the break.
Yeah, well, what came to my mind, first of all, Angela, and we're so sorry that you have this continuing pain, the phantom pain. I know a couple other people in my life who say that they have phantom pain as well, and it's got to be just really awful. I mean, for those who aren't aware of what that is, it's like if you lose a limb or something, you have pain in that. You don't have the limb, but it's the pain is as if you do. One thing I like to say, Angela, is that wounds heal. But scars remain, and sometimes even the emotional scars and the psychological scars as well. But I would just say, go before the Lord and say, Lord, you know, you created me to be in relationship with you, to know you, to love you, to be whole. And you don't have to be physically whole to be spiritually whole before the Lord. W-H-O-L-E is what I'm talking about. And just ask the Lord, say, Lord, what is the purpose of this? And whatever that purpose is, Father, I offer this phantom pain to you. I would love to have it go away. You can certainly read in the Gospels of Jesus, his agony in the garden, you know, when he didn't, in his humanity, he would have rather not had to drink the cup of his suffering, but that was for the world's salvation. And you can be so powerful in offering this to God, you know, for the salvation of many others, but also ask him, it's not wrong to say, Father, please, I would like to see this phantom pain stop. Would you please grant me that? Debbie, I don't know. You've got a couple things you said.
Yeah, no, I think that was really good. Angela, I just want to say, how long ago was this incident?
Oh, it was 23 years.
Okay, 23 years ago. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it to me, I'm not an expert in this area. You know, I'm not a trained counselor or anything like that. Dr. Greg Popcheck probably could really help in this area. It just sounds to me like there's some kind of emotional trauma that you're still carrying somehow with all these years later, and it's affecting your whole spiritual outlook. And maybe, you know, some of it could even be borderline a little bit scrupulosity, in the sense that you said you're reviewing, it makes you remember everything. So it's almost like a whole life review. Have you thought about?
Yes, you thought
about going to some kind of counseling to get some tips to move past that trauma?
I have, you know, I've done counseling throughout, you know, most of this. I found, believe it or not, the most. So I know a lot of, I guess, the tips and the tricks to moving past it. It's just really hard when the pain overwhelms me, I'm having a hard time with that specific piece. If that makes sense.
Right. Okay. Hang on, Angela. Hang on. You hear the music. When we come back, let's pick this up and just finish this and see if we can bring you some peace and some encouragement today. We're talking about forgiving yourself today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, and we're speaking with Angela in Arkansas, and we're talking about her specific situation of going through this accident, and it kind of resurrecting in her spiritual life. And Angela, we have a couple questions over the break that came in from some of our Take Two family. They think they may be able to impart some helpful skills, if you will, to maybe move forward. And they just wanted to know, is it the pains that you're feeling? Are they feelings? Is the pain real, overwhelming physical, or are there elements of guilt in there? Are there elements of shame of past sins? They just wanted a little clarification because they want to know what to pray for, and second, they may offer some assistance.
Oh wow, yeah, prayers would be great. No, it's a residual neurological pain that flares up. It is really physically overpowering, mm-hmm. But once that happens is when I have a hard time. Once I get overwhelmed with the pain is when I have a hard time saying, you know, hey, no, those are stuff you confessed. We don't need to worry about this anymore. But it's also really hard to do anything complicated mm-hmm. to try to soothe it. And that's where I'm struggling.
Okay, so a couple things then that this is perfect because we are getting wonderful text messages in for you because everybody cares. You know, this is the beauty of the Take Two family. And Jerry, tell me if you would agree with this. So Angela, a couple things. You're doing all the right things. You're with a priest that you trust. He's getting you to that baptism date that you said that it's coming up. So that's going to be a really wonderful time and a time of graces and spiritual growth in you, which is going to be fabulous. The other thing too is some folks are suggesting really getting into some Gregorian chant or some really good really good meditation. There's wonderful Catholic meditations, wonderful, that just really settles the body, settles the mind, it allows you to get through those overwhelming moments, whether they're physical storms, emotional, you know, mental, spiritual, whatever. It really does help. The rosary does as well. It lowers the heart rate. It completely gets people really settled. And the rosary is fabulous. It's very powerful. And adoration. And I know right now with churches being closed, sometimes adoration will be hard to get to a chapel or a church, but even if you do the online real-time adoration, and I know EWTN has adoration as well on EWTN television at times. So anything like that can help you get clarity. And also I would highly recommend if you can get any icons of any wonderful spiritual images of, you know, Jesus, the Last Suppers, you know, anything serving, Jesus's ministry life, the Blessed Mother, the Holy Family, any icons you can get, even if you pull them up online, but even if you could just, have them blessed. If you have an actual icon for your home, have them blessed. And then also meditate upon the icon as well. It has it speaks a spiritual truth, Angela. And it also is very transformative in the spiritual life. I can't stress it enough. I'm a big, big person on icons. I said a lot there, but I'm sorry, Jerry. Sorry, I was hogging. I had to get it all in. Plus read the text messages. what do you think, Angela?
No, those are great. Those sound great. They're all like easy to do, mm-hmm. not something that was going to involve a lot of thought when I am having a hard time thinking.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So that's great advice.
Good, good. Okay, so try that. And then good. And then also our facilitator, Gigi, for Inspired by Faith Book Club, she just invited you to the book club if you wanted to join. The book club, all you have to do is go to the Facebook page, Inspired by Faith, or you can go to standtalltoday.com and click on the book tab. But they're starting Angels and Demons, and she just thought it would be so beautiful because your name is Angela. What do you think?
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate your call, and you will be in our prayers and the prayers of the entire Take Two with Jerry and Debbie family around the world. That includes a lot of people, Angela. So, by all means, know that
you. That's amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, you've got a lot of prayer support. You're a strong, beautiful soul, and we are definitely with you in this. So thank you for calling the program. We appreciate it. as we are talking today about self-forgiveness. Some people have a more difficult time than others with that. The phone number, if you'd like to join us, is 833-288-3986. And if we can go, Angela, hang on, keep listening, because we've got Naomi in St. Paul, Minnesota, listening on Sirius XM 130 and a first-time caller. And it says here she has some words of advice for you. So I hope that we can go to Naomi next. I know it's, there we go. Yeah, there's Naomi in St. Paul, Minnesota. Thank you, show team. You guys are on top of everything. Hi, Naomi. Welcome.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Just fine, yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to bring forth that I had listened to a talk by Father Chad Ripperger, who was talking about angels and demons. And he said specifically that we should pray to our guardian angels and ask them to block memories of things like past sins. If we're being tempted by scrupulosity or other things that are just negative messages for us, that our guardian angels have full power to block them from our memory. So if Angela is having trouble at these times with all the memories of her past sins coming back to her, it would be good for her to pray to her guardian angel to block those images and messages and memories. Mm-hmm. And that's all I had to add.
Well, Naomi, that is great. I sure hope Angela does get to listen and hear those great encouraging words of praying to your guardian angel. Absolutely. We move and we make our decisions and we feel certain things by the images that we see in our heads. And you're absolutely correct. When you have a relationship and an awareness of your guardian angel, when you allow them to be part of your life and they can fully do their ministry work to help you get to heaven, that's what they're there for, is to really be that companion, to really to guard you and guide you in all your ways. To help block those negative images that come into our heads, but also to replace them with very God-given images that God wants us to visualize and to see and to manifest. And so there's a two-part there that really is helpful, because some people feel like if they pray to their guardian angel and those images don't go away, they think that maybe the guardian angel failed or wasn't able to. Sometimes the body is so strong, muscle memory and everything, the body's so strong, it'll go back to what it knows, you know. And so it is also important to really ask the guardian angels to illuminate our minds so that we can live that abundant life that God has in store for all of us. And so I couldn't agree with you more, Naomi. Thank you so much for sharing that. That was a great reminder and a great thing for all of us to know. And hopefully Angela will start using that today.
Yep. Thanks, Naomi.
Thank you.
All right, God bless.
Bye now. Bye, Naomi.
And Debbie, you mentioned sacramentals, a number of them, a few minutes ago, and I'm sure you mentioned holy water, but I want to go back to that because you and I have a good friend and a colleague in ministry, Adam Bly, who's mm-hmm. a religious demonologist, and I'm not implying any demonic activity here on Angela's part or anything, but I have found it even in my own life when I have difficulty ridding myself of certain thoughts or I'm feeling certain things or whatever. Adam said, take a little holy water and bless different parts of your head, like touch it upon your eyes, your ears, and make a little sign of the cross with it on top of your head, because that's the area where we have these thoughts and these past things come to us, and we can just ask God to bless them with the holy water and relieve us of them.
Absolutely. See, this is wonderful. We're learning and growing. Let's hear what Nancy has to say in Buffalo, New York, listening on the Station of the Cross, is a first-time caller. Hi, Nancy. Welcome.
Hi, Debbie. Thank you. Hi, Jerry.
Hi.
My thoughts were just that, like you had mentioned, Jerry, about getting angry with yourself and being angry, maybe that's this way I used to feel too sometimes. And then I realized it was more that I felt that I was forgiven, and I felt I could go on from that with the, strength from the Lord, my faith. And after confession, I felt fine. But then it was, I would think of all the things I did that would have affected other people, my actions, my words, and that if they weren't in the same place where they felt the Lord and felt strong, and maybe I could took them away from, you know, from God in their life, that's what was bothering me, I think. So I made a habit of just saying a rosary that day for them, or just praying for them, and just so that I felt that the Lord, someone would be there. And everything you're saying, too, it really helps so much. But it's helped me a lot just to know that I can help other people that I might have affected the wrong way.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful way to do that, Nancy, is to pray for them, pray a rosary or what have you for them. I think it was St. Therese of Lisieux who said she used to pray to God for him to make right anything she had made wrong. So we can do that because God is outside of time and space. So he can, in a sense, go back to the moment of the when we have wronged somebody, and he can kind of bring his healing into that situation and make right what we made wrong. This is a beautiful reality, Debbie, that I wish we realized more profoundly, because what a gift from God that he says, no matter when something happened, I'm willing to go there and make right anything that was made wrong there and bring healing to a situation.
Right. And don't you think that's a really good use of our prayers? Like sometimes our prayers, you know, we're not sure how they are applied or in you know, in what way, how are they are being beneficial. But this to bring healing, I think is it brings delight to God when we want that, because we're in so many times when people do things, they want to forget it very quickly. And with that leaves the brokenness, and that somehow does have to be healed, whether it's here or in eternity. Right. So this is a beautiful, healthy way to exercise a wonderful, powerful method of prayer to apply to others. Is that what you were sharing, right, Nancy?
Exactly what I was sharing. And I think the biggest thing in my life that really I felt that was when my son, he was 27, 2 years ago, took his own life. And so my interaction with him, it was always like, well, what have I done, or what could I have done different? So that's where the prayers a lot of times started with that. But then just looking at my life and all the different things I might have done, you know, and without being too scrupulous, but just, like you mentioned, anything that I can pray for now and then and in time, and I love that to know that God will take care of it, you know, and it's in his
whatever. Yeah. We're so sorry for the loss of your son, Nancy. I put your whole family in our book. You don't have to give any names or anything. We just know that we've got a really strong praying family, the Take-Two family, and your family is being surrounded, and your son as well. That just breaks our hearts that he felt in that position to take his own life, but then also how that has an effect on everybody who's still here, you know, his family, his friends, and that's tough. And so you're a strong lady, and just know prayers are around you.
Well, thank you so much, Debbie. I really appreciate that.
Oh, you're very welcome, Nancy.
Thank you.
Yep. Please know that you are being prayed for a lot, and we appreciate you joining us on the program today. Debbie, you mentioned Eucharistic adoration from EWTN earlier, and I just want to circle back on that for just a second, because it shows that we are never alone. Debbie, you always say we have our guardian angels, and we have Jesus who said, I will be with you always until the end of the age, and that being with you, being with us, takes a lot of different forms for Jesus, but one of the most beautiful ones is, in, of course, the Blessed Sacrament, the Eucharist, and EWTN is streaming live Eucharistic adoration from the EWTN Chapel right now. So if you want to visit EWTN.com/Catholicism/adoration, you will find that, and you can do your Holy Hour without even going to a church. Hopefully our churches will be open soon, but EWTN is helping to fill those gaps.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anna called back. We were praying, Anna, because you called earlier and then dropped off, but you called back from Melrose, Massachusetts. The Station of the Cross is the way you're listening, and you're a first-time caller. Welcome to Take Two, Anna.
Thank you so much. So I'm calling because I've always been a Catholic all my life. I've always known God, but when I became a teenager, I strayed and I was lost for a while. And in my later teens, I got pregnant, not once, you know, not consecutively, but around that time I got pregnant twice. And I had two abortions. And at the time, you know, I knew it was bad, but not the way that I look at it now since I've built my relationship with God. So you know, I've went to confession about it. I've spoke to nuns about it. They've assured me that I'm forgiven, but it's something that has always stuck with me, and I feel so guilty. And now I'm 43 years old, and throughout those times, you know, I've learned to get closer to God. I've also had 6 kids, so I have a 24, a 19, a 15, a 13, a 9, and an 8-year-old that I've been blessed with. But after my 8-year-old, I got my tubes tied. And as I continue to bring my children to church every Sunday, you know, we've done all the sacraments that we can possibly do, and I try to literally drown myself with everything that has to do with God, though I'm still continuing to change and have him transform my life, it's something that I cannot let go of. And I feel so guilty, especially when I hear that our babies are up in heaven that will be awaiting us. And I don't know, you know.
Yeah, you can't reconcile it. We hear this a lot, Anna, and it's a really tough journey, and that's why there are programs out there, and I know there's some right in your area that have very strong, vibrant chapters. If you've ever checked into them, Rachel's Vineyard or Project Rachel. Are you familiar with those different programs that really help get through the emotional kind of roller coaster after abortion, even if it's right away after the abortion or 20, 30 years later? Have you explored any of those programs?
No, but my church was one time offering a woman's retreat, you know, for women who have had past abortions. And, you know, at the time I just didn't have the monetary, you know, assistance to be able to go and do it, but I would have loved to have done it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's what I would suggest to do so that you can pray about it and then call your church first and find out what's the nearest chapters of you know, when's the next one's going to happen. I don't know if they're going to be doing them virtually or how they're doing them now with the whole COVID thing, but Rachel's Vineyard or Project Rachel, don't stop there. If your church is not sure, you know, where to point you to, go to your diocese, call the diocese and say, I would like to explore one of these programs. I had an abortion a couple abortions many years ago, and I want to go through one of these programs or at least understand it better, because they have developed the process and the skills to walk people through what happens afterwards. So all those feelings that you're having, all of those, you know, it keeps you went to it, you went to nuns, you went to priests, they told you everything, you're forgiven and everything, but it's still kind of these images that keep surrounding you, and it's hard to put them in place. It's hard to reconcile them. They can help you along the way so that you can feel, listen, you're never going to be able to probably forget what happened. You're not going to be able to condone or justify or rationalize, but you can move forward from it and somewhat make sense of it. I went to a Rachel's Vineyard weekend and it was phenomenal. I've never been through an abortion, but I had a lot of people that I was ministering to that had abortions. And so they asked me to go to this retreat. I went to it. It was phenomenal. It helped me. And I can only imagine how it helps women who have gone through it. What do you think, Anna? Do you think that's something you would be able to explore?
I would love to do something, because, you know, I just don't want anything that will stop me from continuing to grow, you know, the way that the Lord would want me to grow in the name of his son, Jesus. So I'll take anything and everything. I'm thirsty for God. I'm starving for God. So I'll drink his blood and eat his flesh every day and all day. Mm.
Wow. Anna, I'm sorry. You are truly a beautiful soul, and you've got a great understanding of God's love and how he loves us. You mentioned in the Blessed Sacrament. You know, there are a lot of things here. You were young, you strayed from the faith. Maybe your conscience was not fully formed at the time, but you made a confession to a priest, I'm sure. So, you know, a couple of practical things. Many people will name their babies through a miscarriage or even after an abortion. You can pray for them and pray to them, but you've shown your openness to life. You mentioned the litany of the other children that you have had. You have shown God. You are open to life, and I would guess you all always were. But again, that conscience, well, you said you knew it was wrong, but there was just something there that didn't quite stop you short of taking those actions. But now you have shown yourself to God to be someone who loves the gift of life, and he has blessed you with many other children. I think that's beautiful.
Yes, he has.
Yeah.
Well, Project Rachel is hopeafterabortion.org. I'm looking it up right now, and then there's Rachel's Vineyard. But check that out, Anna. And if you hit into any roadblocks, you're not sure, just call your Station of the Cross. You listen to the Station of the Cross. Call them, okay? They'll happily point you in the areas that you live in where you could go the next steps to maybe go to one of these retreats or one of the programs or even get it online, okay?
Definitely. I appreciate you guys so much, and God bless you.
God bless you too, Anna.
Thank you. God bless you too. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you go with the prayers of the entire Take Two family. So thanks for joining us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We're going to go next to Lavana, who is in Delphos, Kansas, listening on Divine Mercy Radio. Hi, Lavana. Welcome to Take Two.
Hello, and thank you very much. And mm-hmm. It's just amazing that you would be talking about this forgiving yourself topic. I have spent a lot of energy in that corner myself. I am an older person. I'm 75, and years ago when we prepared for confession, it was quite a bit different than it is now, and there was a lot of emphasis on what sins have you committed, how many times have you done them, and it was easy for me to develop I guess you would call it scrupulosity and dread hand in hand at the same time. And going forward with that, you would spend a lot of time, you know, I would write down my sins and the number of times and then come out of the confessional and replay it. Like, okay, did I get this one? Did I forget that one? How did I confess this? And over the years, it was pretty much of a burden. Although at times when I would go to confession, immediately after confession, I felt very relieved and, you know, I felt very light and like it was a good thing and I had benefited from it. But it didn't take long for these old things to start creeping back into my heart and my mind. And now that I'm old, it's been a process, and confession has morphed into more of a, I look at as more of a going to the divine physician as the doctor, and you tell the doctor, you know, what's all the matter with you, and then you listen to what his treatment is going to be for that, and it just has become easier. Not all the time. I have a hard time saying, you know, we're going to go to confession and just get myself in there. That's the main thing. Make sure I do it and pray to the Holy Spirit to be there with me, helping me confess properly. And yet and still, some of the things that the other callers have been saying, I think over time, I probably will always carry with me kind of a haunting, plaguing kind of thing with scars of guilt. And like we say at baptism, we get an indelible mark on our soul. And I think this whole experience, there have probably been some things on my soul that are like scars that will probably always be there. But with forgiveness, you don't necessarily forget. And at the same time, it has become kind of a problem to go back and I'll think of things that happened that I had not thought of for years. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, did I confess that at all? Did I confess it in a way that didn't make me look quite so bad? Did it come to mind and I just made the decision, nope, I'm not going to confess that? All kinds of things. And I've brought this up in confession and talked with the priests, and the priests now have been much more healing, much more shepherding, which is wonderful. It almost seems like they're too lenient sometimes.
Lavana, for the sake of time, forgive me for jumping in. For the sake of time, we are up against the clock. That's the one thing that Demi and I don't like about this show is it is limited to time. But a couple of things I want to mention. I think this emphasizes the importance of the sacrament of confession, of reconciliation, of penance, because we hear Jesus through the priest saying, I absolve you. We have that certainty. And you mentioned wounds heal, but scars remain. And that is so true. And we can look upon those scars as maybe reminders to help us grow closer to God, not do those same things again, and also to be very, very grateful to God for his forgiveness and the gift of salvation. Debbie, I know you got some.
Yes, real quickly. You're not alone. A lot of saints dealt with scrupulosity. Scrupulous Anonymous, it's a great website for you to get the necessary tools to keep moving forward. And the remedy a lot of times for scrupulosity is trust. Trust in God. And so that can always help others, if just to always remember that. Jesus, we trust in you. Philip, Bobby, Paul, the others, we're so sorry we're not going to get to you. Please call again on the next show, especially when we're addressing forgiving oneself. Jerry, this was a great topic.
Thank you all for your prayers and participation. Thanks to Michael and Ryan and all of the team at EWTN and affiliates for carrying the show. Tomorrow we're going to talk about, is there someone you've had to entrust entirely to God? That is coming up on the next Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Until then, have a beautiful and blessed day.